In a world of mindless movie cliches, one podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
The year is 1941, the place a deserted airstrip, where a message is about to be delivered to the people of the United States by the one man capable of igniting fire in the heart of the American bosom. Captain Wild Wayne Kelso.
What did you get, Wild Wayne?
5.
Confirm?
2 maybe. Hey, sailor. Wanna help your country? Yeah, you out there. You in the audience. Why don't you enlist? Today. Right now. Forget about the fitting of your new zoot suit or the dance on Friday night. Or that strawberry blonde with a permanent wave. Your country needs you, son. You gonna let her down? You think your best girl look good in a kimono? Eating teriyaki off a straw placemat?
Here you go, Wayne.
I'd like to eat sauerkraut for the rest of your life. I'd like to drive to work one morning. Look out. And the street signs will be written in Japanese! Ah! Hey, men, we need you. And you dames out there. There's plenty of stuff for you, broad like you, to do, too. Like making warheads, ordering bombing patterns, dancing with desperate dogfishes at the USO. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm saying we got a great country here. We gotta keep it that way. Captain Wild Wayne Kelso, United States Army Air Corps. Say to each and every one of you. So long, Mama. I'm off to Yokohama.
This Christmas, Universal Pictures and Columbia Pictures proudly prepares you for next Christmas. Steven Spielberg presents 1941, the night the rising sun fell on Hollywood.
Now that was a trailer, a teaser.
Oh, what? I'm sorry, I fell asleep. What?
No, see, here's the thing. I really genuinely feel, by the way, welcome to the show. You're listening to VHS Rewind, and we're reviewing the movie 1941 by Steven Spielberg from 1979. That teaser was funny. You also had him speaking more lines in that one teaser than he did for the entire movie. He didn't have 25 words in the movie.
This is true. This is true. But a lot of people get short shrift in this movie because there's too many people.
Yeah.
Way too many people. Our boy, Eddie Deason. I have a very fond memory of 1941. It came out in 79. I was 12 years old. And I remember liking it. I remember finding it funny.
You saw it in the theaters?
I saw it in the theaters. I went back because this movie, with its insistence on juvenile sex antics, you know, turned me on when I was 12. You know, the way women are objectified in this movie and pursued and lasciviously objectified. So that turned me on. I thought the special effects back then, like, I thought it looks spectacular.
Oh.
I still think it looks great.
On a quality level, from a cinematic standpoint, an art direction, beautiful. There are scenes in this movie that I think are as good as Spielberg gets.
It looks great. And, you know, nowadays some of the effects don't hold up. The planes going down Hollywood Boulevard still looks good. The best part I remember, like, thinking, holy shit, that looks fantastic, that was amazing. You know, when the Ferris wheel mm-hmm. rolls down the pier, mm-hmm. I remember thinking that looked great as a kid. Now I'm like, oh, that's a model. that's a model. Right.
But there's an epic feel to the movie. It's huge. There's a very big feel of the movie. The sets are tremendous. But here's where the movie falls apart. I don't think that they ever sat down and ever thought about the basic level of characters and the basic level of stories. There's all types of stuff happening. There's no clear answer what's happening, and we haven't been told enough about any of the characters to care if they're going to be dead in the next 5 minutes or not. We just don't care. We don't know. And we don't know if they even mean anything to the plot, which I'm still confused about. It's you know what? It's not the worst film by Spielberg. I kept on saying it's the worst, it's terrible. It's Spielberg's weakest film. That's just what I have to say about it.
How could it not be the worst if it's his weakest?
It's a matter of opinion, because I couldn't make this movie. I mean, it's a beautiful movie to watch. It's a physical, you know, there are scenes, like you said, they're beautiful. The dancing scene is phenomenal.
Yeah, I see there towards the end, mm-hmm. everything was getting too frantic, too destructo for my taste. You know, okay. You got the riot in the streets, you got the riot at the USO Hall. Do we really need a tank going through, over cars, through paint factories, off the pier? I mean, just everything's blowing up, being shot. So much glass is being shattered. I was like, ugh, I don't know. You know, where this kind of humor worked better was in the Blues Brothers, mm-hmm. which was another cocaine piece from this era.
That's what this movie feels like, is a big pile of cocaine. There's no focus. And it's like you're at a Hollywood party with cocaine, because it just never ends.
And you bastard, you made me watch the freaking extended edition that had 30 extra.
I was not aware of this. Now, I wrote this thing. I'm going to read it real quick. With bated breath, people wait for the failures of a great many people. Orson Welles, George Lucas, the Rolling Stones, Scorsese, even President Barack Obama. That's right, Chris. Even President Barack Obama.
Okay, we're not supposed to politicize.
No, but people wait for them to fail. People hope that they fail. Even though, you know, it's why. In the late 1970s and early 80s, it was as though Spielberg could do no wrong. He'd exploded onto the scene with Jaws and Close Encounters. Two phenomenal movies, right? Wouldn't you agree? Two of, like, the most memorable early works of Spielberg.
Those two... Yes. After that, we get extremely choppy.
Yeah, it gets a little bit crazy.
You know, I'll go on a limb. I would rather watch 1941 again than E.T. I just don't.
You know what? I just saw E.T. for the first time ever.
What?
2 years ago.
Ouch.
I watched it with my son. His first time, my first time. And we just watched it again a couple weeks ago. I thought it's an easy movie to watch. But I have to say, this movie is so poor and so badly written, and it's so overproduced and completely self-indulgent, that I just have to say, I hated this movie. I hated it. I don't care that people go, well, you know, it's Spielberg, 1979, nostalgia. There's so many other things that came out the same week that are more classic, because for you to have seen this movie... instead of Next Door, where they were playing The Jerk, or the other...
No, that wasn't...
Yes, same week, same release day. Or the other one, where they're playing Walt Disney's The Black Hole. Either one of those movies...
Star Trek is around this time as well.
Yeah, but these two
Star
movies...
Star Trek, The Motion Picture.
The same release day it had of all that jazz, which you pass on. Kramer versus...
Whoa.
I'm talking as a 12-year-old.
Oh, as a 12-year-old, all right.
But The Black Hole, you might have watched.
Yeah.
Being there with Sellers and McClane.
I might have gone, because Peter Sellers and Inspector Clouseau.
Kramer versus Kramer, probably not a kid's movie. Or The Jerk, which is kind of similar, you know, in the sense of humor that 1941 was trying to be. Now, in a week before this came out, the movie that you didn't go see was Rocky II, Star Trek the Motion Picture, and Apocalypse Now.
Oh,
there is no excuse why somebody would choose to go see 1941 unless all these other amazing movies were sold out, minus Star Trek the Motion Picture, which, granted, is a beautiful movie to look at. It's just too long for me.
Well, 1941 had Belushi and Aykroyd, so
yeah,
they were hot at the time.
Shatner and Nimoy. No, I'm kidding. Stallone and Shire and Young.
And
Sheen and Brando.
And this had, as our lead, it had, what was that guy's name? Bobby DiCicco, or I forget what Wally's, the actor, Wally.
Treat Williams?
No, Treat
Williams. I'm kidding.
Was,
I like his name.
Why would people think that Treat Williams, his character being a rapist stalker, was funny? You know, I don't
I didn't, you know,
I don't know.
The movie was very difficult for me to get through. I really just couldn't. I kept, like, looking at the movie and just go, what the hell's going on? Like, I kept rewinding and thinking, like, did I just miss something?
Okay, well, let's talk about the cast for a second, just to knock out some things. So we're in a comedy, and we have funny people in the movie. So here's my take on the humor in this. There are some things in here that are really funny, but the really funny stuff is really very far between. There's a couple of really funny lines that are also really very far between.
Chuckles, I'm going to say.
No, I had a couple of hearty laughs, actually.
Oh, yeah?
All right. You know, there's a scene in the beginning, like in the diner, where Wally is now fighting with Treat Williams, and Wally's friend throws him a turkey leg, and John Candy says, in the John Candy style, "Look out, he's got a leg!" that I found funny. And Dan Aykroyd has a line later on that talks, you know, he keeps making comments about Wally's wardrobe that I thought was funny. The funny people in this movie are not really very funny. Like Belushi, he's off by himself mostly in the cockpit.
He's the mostly. Same character as he was in Animal House.
Yeah, and that's true. And I thought that would be funny, but it's not funny. He's got nothing to do. Nothing to
do. Well, nobody's given him a new character to play. The script is written for that character.
He's got a couple of funny, shticky things.
Hey, you want to be in a movie, John? Yeah, sure, why not? All right, no problem, we'll write you in. That's realistically what happened there.
Yeah, we're not gonna write you a check, but here's a pound of cocaine for you.
Make it 2 pounds. You know, it's like you're gonna fit in perfectly with this movie. You know,
like he's got some. Again, it's glimpses of funny stuff, but mostly he's just loud and just doing the boorish stuff that's not funny. Dan Aykroyd has some almost funny stuff, but he's not utilized really well. You know who's the funniest in this movie is the people you wouldn't expect to be funny. Like Robert Stack is funny when he's watching Dumbo. He's the general watching Dumbo. And, you know, he's singing along and he's crying.
Right,
and he's
in the
funny.
Movie theater, right.
And things he says, he's saying them in kind of the manner of Leslie Nielsen in Airplane, except there's no jokes. He's just really underplaying his lines, and there are some zingers that he has that we can play. I have a couple of examples.
I believe if I were to go back and really kind of pay that much attention to it, I could find the jokes. But this was just not a funny movie to me. It was just not – it was humorless, actually.
I like Treat Williams. This is his best, like, big screen thing outside of Deep Rising. Like, I thought he was terrible in Prince of the City. I didn't think he could really carry that kind of movie. But here, he's a supporting character. He's playing, you know, brute. But he's got some funny things. He doesn't like eggs. You know, I mean, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was funny? I'm just going down my list.
Repeat what you just said about the eggs and say it to yourself.
What? He doesn't like eggs.
It's funny.
But the way he does it and the way it comes up in the movie.
You're giving credit to him not liking eggs.
I'm grasping at straws. Right. Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm simply saying that I don't feel as though that deserves credit on any level. There's a lot. I don't know why people like this movie.
I think there's funny stuff interspersed throughout that it's just so far between.
I remember making me laugh. I don't know why. John Candy can make me laugh just being on the screen.
All right, you know what? Here, let's start with the clips. Here's a really funny clip.
We're gonna only play a few clips.
let's do the Ogden Johnson Jones entry because that's funny. It's I don't have my list in front of me. Shit.
I'm looking.
It's like 11 or 12. It's almost towards the end.
All right.
Ogden Johnson Jones.
I got it.
This guy is funny.
Just give me a sec here.
Even though it's kind of a racist caricature.
I want that bunk right there by the door. I don't want none of them now Asian enemies sneaking up on me while I'm in here asleep. My name is Ogden Johnson Jones. Now I ain't gonna enjoy it here. But I got orders to say I'm supposed to be here. And orders is orders. Is anybody in here that don't like it?
Reese, give me a jar of that white stencil paint.
Now, Ogden, I know you're gonna like it here. Now, there's a few rules you gotta abide by. For example, if you will notice down here, sir, you'll notice this white line, which is the Mason-Dixon line. Now, that is the north, and this is the south.
Now, don't ever cross over there. Oh, no.
Well, I'm from Tennessee, and I'm going home to visit my vet.
Well, that's always nice, but this is Mississippi. Don't ever cross there.
Yeah, well, I want to pick magnolia flowers.
Oh, magnolias, you say?
We'll never cross him with a Mexican border. You wouldn't dare cross the Mexican border.
Oh, lie and a CCC to you.
Ah, I lose. White flag, I surrender. Bye-bye.
It never fails, you know, those guys are idiots.
So
he says those guys are all idiots. He's saying all black men are idiots. And then they get, you know, the black man gets the flour all over his face, and John Candy gets, like, tar or oil or dirt or dust all over his face at the end, and they have a good laugh together because they're all brothers. But, you know, I mean, so I thought he was funny, but what they did there.
I remember this scene being, you know, a chuckle.
Yeah, it was a chuckle, but I was really needing a chuckle at the 1 hour mark.
Yeah, seriously, it's an hour in.
And let's talk about. Do you want to talk about our boy and his entrance? Because that's the other clip I definitely want to play. You know, this clip and part of it is funny, especially when Deason's friend pops up out of the blanket. But I think Deason is really funny. And I remember I could have swore he had more to do. But after this entry scene, the rest of his stuff is so clipped and heavily edited because it's frantically cross-cutting with other action going on in other places.
Yeah.
Everybody gets chopped away.
I will say, though, when Deason pops in there, he's like a breath of fresh air.
He is. He's
nothing like any of the other characters in the movie. He's there for 100% laughs. And for that, I can really appreciate that.
And he delivers.
Now you're talking about Q8?
Yeah, 4727.
Yep. All right, so here we go. That's another thing. This is the amusement park at 6:39 p.m.
Yeah, in California.
But it's like it looks like it's like 11 o'clock at night. It's like pitch black out. So.
But it looks pretty. So it should be noted that Deason and the comedy team of Eddie Deason and Murray Hamilton are going off into a Ferris wheel to look for Japs out in the ocean.
But at 6:39 p.m., wouldn't there be some... It wouldn't be this dark.
That's not in California, I don't think.
Well, I mean, all right, say this is winter. You know, I don't... Well, when is this taking place? Is there a date? Oh, no, December.
It's December, because it's Christmas. Yeah.
No, but it was also during Pearl Harbor, right?
Right.
Before Pearl Harbor.
And at the end, Ned Beatty, like, puts up the Christmas wreath.
So I guess it could be dark there by then.
I don't know. In California? I don't know.
All right, so here we go.
Oh, boy, ride!
Be okay.
I don't know, Angelo. I just don't know. What if my nose bleeds?
It's a handkerchief.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. A Ferris wheel. I love Ferris wheel. Hey, do we get to ride this all night?
Just to the end of the show.
Hey, wait a minute. We don't have to pay for this, do we? Just remember, we're working for the government now.
Don't worry, Herb. You don't pay for nothing.
Is that where you turn it on? Hey, I always wanted to work one of these babies.
Warning. Do not turn on switch.
Ow! Hey!
Don't touch that. These are the master control switches. You fool around with them, you turn on a whole amusement park.
I love Ferris wheels.
Relax, Claude. Everything's gonna be all right. Here's what you gotta do. If you hear or see any airplanes, you pick up the phone. You yell, Army Flash. You got a direct line to the interceptor command. Then you tell them exactly what you saw and where. Here.
You know my problem with heights. I don't want to be stuck up there with him. Jesus Christ, Angelo. They gave him a gun.
That's all right. He got a license. He's an expert shot. Now, don't worry about nothing. Try to adjust. But to know him is to live. Now, don't worry about nothing. I don't think you'll both be compatible. If not, I'll get you replaced. Now, just sit down, Claude. Remember, you're both very vital to civil defense.
Safety bar? We don't need no safety bar. What happens if we have to jump?
You keep the safety bar locked at all times. And remember, don't act out pervy like you did last summer. No standing up and no rocking.
You mean this thing rocks?
Don't worry, Ty, you're perfectly safe, like a babe in his mother's arms. Why, you got nothing to worry about. You know, I once flew around in one of these things 180 degrees and I didn't get hurt. No, sir, buddy boy, there's no way you can get killed in one of these things, unless you really try. Like this one guy I knew, he committed suicide. He just stood right up and did a swan dive straight down.
Sit down, please. Just stay seated, please.
Don't look down, Claude, you'll be all right. Up, up, up. I'll be back to pick you up after your shift. Ciao.
Hey, this grapefruit's rotten. I'm gonna throw it away. Is it all right with you if I throw it away? All right, I'm gonna throw it away. Here it goes. It's going. It's going. It's going. It's going. Going. It's going. It's going. Aw, too bad I forgot to time it. If I timed it, I would have known how long it would have took for it to hit the ground, because I know that objects fall at exactly 32 feet per second.
Would you just shut up about heights? I don't want to hear another word about heights.
Boy, I sure hope the wind starts...
Just shut up! Now, don't say another word.
Scared of heights, huh? Me too.
So he takes out a dummy, a ventriloquist dummy. And that's basically the voice that was popping right there. And then, granted, if that was funny.
That was funny. There's a scene with the Japanese ninjas dressed as trees in the desert.
Yeah.
That was a funny visual.
Right, and like I said, it was funny when Chaplin did it in he did it for World War I in like 1921 maybe.
Who?
Charlie Chaplin. Anyone.
Yeah, who?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's, you know, I mean, it's basically a bad copy of that.
let's see, who else? I'm just trying to think of who else we could.
That's about it. I mean,
you know,
to
Slim
be honest
Pickens,
with you,
do we want to play his clip?
I honestly have to say, I want to put this movie to complete bed. I really don't think that this movie deserves.
No,
it's really not.
There's more to, let's talk about the objectification of women and
it's boring. This is it all falls flat. All of it.
Not all of it falls flat. No, I don't think all of it falls
flat. I recommend that everyone listening to this movie that has not seen 1941 continue not seeing 1941.
Ouch.
Go see any other movie. It's Spielberg has a lot of movies that are much better. Hook, for instance. Much better than this.
Ouch.
Did he do Waterworld? I'm not really sure.
Oh, Jing. No, he did not. You know, the MC at the USO Club has funny stuff. It's like a line or two lines. Raul, I think he's funny. I thought he was funny. Slim Pickens, he's doing his Slim Pickens shtick.
You know what it is? The movie is, it's Slim Pickens on jokes.
Oh, was it?
No, I don't even mean that to be, you know, kind of a joke. It really is. It the amount of jokes and the amount of lines, they're so far and few between that,
Then you have the pleasure of, like, cast catching. Like, did you see Mickey Rourke was in this movie? I did a double take when I realized it was him.
It's more of a visual, but
right. But and he doesn't do anything funny. But
I don't think
he was supposed to. I don't think this is true.
He's probably delivering the coke. See, you want to be in a movie.
Wild Orchid was funny, but
I mean, I don't dislike him as an actor. I just don't. He's not funny.
Nancy Allen, you know, she was a big thing in 70s movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, De Palma movies, you know, she was really sleeping through all the directors of this period. All this group that palled around together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked her in this movie, believe it or not. I think she was as terrible an actress as she usually is. See RoboCop. You know, she wasn't great in that, and she got worse in each of the sequels.
I do want to mention that the opening of the movie was a play on the beginning of Jaws.
Which is the height, like you say, of indulgence. I mean, this director is aping himself.
Right, which I thought was very strange.
And I wanted to check. I didn't have time, but I wanted to check if some of the shots were the same as in Jaws.
No, I don't think they were.
You don't think so? No. Like what the shot of her running into the water, or the shot of when she's coming down the hill and taking her clothes off. I thought maybe some of it was the same.
The Jaws, you know, you probably know the story about that opening scene, how it doesn't line up at all. Like, you know, one shot it's darker and then it's lighter.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah,
it doesn't line up, and there was an edit of it, and it was horrible. And then I forget the name of the woman who came in, and she basically re-edited that entire beginning. She basically saved the movie. And I believe that he wouldn't go and use that stuff just because of what a headache that intro was.
I did not know that.
But yeah, I don't believe that. I mean, could it be? Just not even. But even that, I felt as though it was funny. But it was kind of funny.
It
went on for a little long, you know. It was just
and the rapport between. I was hoping that someone on the stature of Toshiro Mifune and Christopher Lee would have more sparks, but mm-hmm. you know, Christopher Lee doesn't do anything funny. He's just kind of a exasperated Nazi. And Toshiro, maybe he's got one or two asides that are funny, but, you know, he doesn't, again, he's not doing anything funny.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's not supposed to either. He's supposed to be a real straight, serious guy anyway, I think.
That opening scene, again, I was 12. I think that opening scene was my first, like, almost nude shot of a woman, you know,
right.
with the ass,
yeah.
when she's hanging on to the telescope, periscope, you know. So again, I think that's what kept bringing me back to the theater. What
it's
did you think
like,
of,
you know what we should do? You know what we should open this up with, right? I mean, that's how this movie was written. You know, it was.
What do you think of Betty? Did you think she was pretty? I remember thinking she was hot. She was from Eight Is Enough at the time. I don't know if you remember that show.
I'm trying to remember. Who was she in
Eight Is Enough? Diane Kaye? She was Betty.
No, Betty but in Eight Is Enough.
I couldn't remember her name in Eight Is Enough.
Oh, okay. I know them from Eight Is Enough. I'm looking at her picture. I thought she was very pretty.
She doesn't do much except yell and look pretty.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of your stereotypical beautiful girl.
And her friend is played by the now deceased, unfortunately, Wendy Jo Sperber.
Who I always liked.
I thought she was funny on Bosom Buddies. And here she...
Oh, I forgot she was in Bosom Buddies.
She fits this movie perfectly. She brings it just the right... You know, she's playing the lusty fat girl.
Yeah.
Who chases after Treat Williams. But she does it really with a style, and she's genuinely funny. You know, I really liked her in this. I dare say I was finding her hot.
I like her. I always thought she was kind of funny. And yeah, you found out she passed away in 2005.
She was really young. And she died of cancer, and after watching this, I was like, "Oh, that's really a shame."
I'm just looking at. Yeah, I forgot she was in Bosom Buddies. And Back to the Future too. She was the sister.
I can't recall.
Yeah, I mean, one of those kind of characters that you kind of forget about. But yeah, she plays the sister, you know, Marty's sister.
And she was in somebody else pointed out on our Facebook page, Moving Violations, was in.
Bachelor Party?
Oh, Bachelor. Who was she in Bachelor Party?
Dr. Tina Gasco. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. She was on the TV series Private Benjamin, which I kind of remember.
I don't remember her on that show. I remember I loved Private Benjamin.
Right.
The chick who played her. Whose name will come to me in a second. Patterson, Lorna Patterson.
Looking for other stuff that she might have been in that I won't watch. No, I don't really see much else here that I would have watched, but that's sad. She passed. But she definitely left her legacy.
I'm trying to think of other things, you know, again, just the rampant misogyny.
This movie cost $35 million at the time.
In 79, that was almost on level with like Heaven's Gate and Apocalypse Now.
Right. Now, it made something like $2 million on its opening weekend. You know, it's also opening with... I'm going to guess that The Black Hole was a big opening weekend type of movie, and The Jerk was as well. Right?
I think The Jerk was a hit.
Was it a hit right off the bat?
I think so.
Well, I know Steve Martin was so popular at the time.
Right, he had a good streak until like...
But then you have these different Saturday Night Live guys, you know? You know, with different movies, you know?
I didn't like All of Me, which was like 84. I liked The Man with Two Brains. I didn't like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. I didn't like that one.
You know who I liked that was in The Jerk a lot? Was Bernadette Peters. She was one of my early crushes.
Smoking Hot.
Yeah. Her and Madeline Kahn were my early crushes. And actually, I was just watching something with, you know, sadly, just the other day, we lost Gene Wilder. And I was watching a scene with Madeline Kahn. And it's like, wow, she was really beautiful in that movie.
She was beautiful.
And Gene Wilder's hair was very curly. Very curly. But yeah, I'm looking up The Jerk. I want to see The Business, see what it did, just out of curiosity, because anything to not talk about 1941.
Oh, shit. Wow.
I'm sorry. I really didn't like the movie.
More than you did.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we want to say how...
Wow, this movie made a lot of money. It, opening weekend...
What, The Jerk?
Yeah, opening weekend, it made $6 million.
Nice. See, I told you it was a hit.
Yeah.
That's how Steve Martin got to do other flicks.
Well, I think he also had a hit record before this, right? The comedy record?
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Plus, he wrote a book at the time.
Saturday Night Live, though. He was on for one season?
God, remember when stand-up comics could get movie deals?
Or TV deals, even. Like, or TV. Red Fox, you know. Well, Red Fox had been doing comedy since the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, it took him a good couple decades before he got anything good. You know, I actually picked up a record, like a 1956 record of Red Fox. Have you ever seen what Red Fox looked like when he was younger?
I have not.
Very strange looking. Like, I don't think he's African American. I think he's like Native American. Like he has a very interesting look to him. I can't really put my finger on it. I'm just not really sure what his background is, and it doesn't at all have anything to do with 1941 or Bernadette Peters. But
I was just curious, like, where the hell did Slim Pickens come from? What the hell is he famous for? I guess just playing like these Texans.
It's like Regis Philbin, like, where did he come from, you know?
Yeah, what did these guys do that were like,
Well, Regis Philbin was a singer, I think. Like a mediocre singer.
I thought maybe he would have had his own TV show, but he didn't. Oh well. He was in Strangelove, I understand that, but that this guy was in movies for, like, decades. I just don't get it.
You know, I guess you guys kind of, you know, these guys, they spend so much time together, they, you know, become a certain level of celebrity within their own, you know, Hollywood culture, maybe.
Mm.
But I say we put 1941 to bed.
Wait, I have so much more. What else? I'm trying to think of how to get to my other clips.
Boom.
Get to my other clips. You don't want to hear when Ned Beatty as the father of
you big dummy.
Betty says,
"That's go what out. I'm going to say every time you have a clip. You big dummy.
Go out and fuck all those men," tells his daughter.
If you own this movie, throw it away. If you have the Laserdisc, crack it in half.
You know, I don't have it. I kind of wish I did, only because I'm not saying I would watch it again. It's just there's no reason to watch this. Is anybody interested in this period of time? I don't know. And it's just so scattershot, so all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, unless you get off on just, oh, there's so-and-so. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Like, did you see Audrey Landers was one of the USO girls?
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
Scott Baio has got you see his face for a second.
It was his day to deliver the Coke, you know? It was, come on in.
I wish I could. I'm just looking at my clips that I suggested, but
the movie doesn't deserve any more time on the VHS.
Lionel Stander has very funny lines because you didn't get it in that last clip, but he's got.
Sorry, I was just yawning.
He's got.
I'm sorry.
Warren
I just
Oates, didn't talk about Warren Oates. He's funny. He was kind of funny. He had some funny things.
Oh yeah. No, tell me about a funny thing that he did.
Yeah, well, he's just acting crazy like everybody else.
I don't know why. You're being an apologist. It's like you feel bad that you don't like this movie. It was not a good movie.
I'm trying to show you that there are things.
It was not the man's life's work.
I mean, just looking at the gloss of it is one thing. There are funny, genuinely funny things in it. Not many. Like, between this and Million Dollar Mystery, which would you watch? You're stuck on a desert island. You can only take one movie with you.
Oh, God. Million Dollar Mystery, maybe, I think.
check our archives for our review.
You have one bullet. You are Hitler. Myself. That's who I'd kill myself. I'm dumbfounded that I really wanted to like this movie. And 30 minutes into it, I was just so confused. And it could be that we watched the 2-hour, 35-minute version.
And I couldn't tell you like what's new. I really couldn't. I haven't seen the original theatrical cut since it came out.
How dare they release a version of? I just think it's irresponsible to release this movie. It's so boring.
Is it boring? Is it boring? Let me think. Wait, I want to think about that.
There are parts that are boring, sure.
There are parts, like in the beginning, you know, just the whole shtick with Tim Matheson and how he wants to get over on Nancy Allen, and they're in the plane, and that thing goes on so long, and it ends in an explosion.
Right, and the big dance scene, which I thought was beautifully done. Again, the scenes look great. You know what this movie feels like? Like a huge Broadway show. You know,
don't give people ideas. Don't give people. They'll do
off
it.
Off Broadway. 1941 and a half.
Did you hear the almost plug for a sequel at the end where Aykroyd was like telling Robert Stack, you know, I don't think 1941 was the big year for the war. 1942, that'll be the big year. I think they were expecting a big hit here.
Now, the Ned Beatty character I thought was kind of fun because, you know, they asked to put a cannon on his property. He's like, of course. And it was getting out of hand.
I mean, did you notice he's always carrying a gun everywhere, and the wife is finding guns all over the place, and it's Ned Beatty. I'm always partial to Ned Beatty. And he's not doing obvious humor, but he's
on an individual basis, I love these actors. I love the director. It's just I feel as though this is such a mishmash of non-talent. Like, it's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if this could have been worked. Maybe if they played it more serious, not more serious, but maybe darker. Instead of so broad, that's the problem.
Well, you sent me a quote, right, that
I was looking for confirmation of that. But apparently Kubrick
was talking to Spielberg
in 1980. And Kubrick supposedly said to Spielberg, hey, I saw your movie in 1941. I thought it was great. It wasn't funny. You should have marketed it as a drama. Which is very wise. But
the
also,
movie
would be
worse, you know, if you took out the little bit of humor that's kind of just kind of spotted around in there, it would be worse.
I'm saying if you did it a little darker and not so broad with the slapstick and people falling into cakes and you know, there's some things you should have cut back on.
No, I agree. And you know, if he had taken this movie, and instead of lampooning things, you know, turned it up on the whole paranoia of the country that existed, that could have been better.
Yeah, and just make a dark comedy about that.
Like everybody's like on edge, you know, and
you know, I'll give you an example. In the beginning, when Wally is going to steal a suit from Sydney Lasik's department store, and they do an air raid, and everybody runs into a panic. But then that old geezer of a Santa Claus comes out. You know, I guess he was the store Santa, and he's like, "I'm with the MPs, and I'm here with my gun." That was funny. That's the kind of level they should have done instead of, you know, the sexual juvenile humor and. Again, the slapsticks and pratfalls and...
It's not funny enough for that.
You know? Some of the... Like I say, most of the Belushi-isms. You know, you can make them Belushi-esque, but have them do, like be crazy, like in Apocalypse Now what the hell is his name? I can't think. You know, the guy who says... Napalm in the Morning. What the hell is his name? Robert Duvall.
But that movie came out a week before this movie, so I didn't even have a chance to see it. but you know, if Belushi had played the character that he did in the teaser, this would have been a different movie.
Yeah, just have him talk more instead of, I guess by by filming time, he was cooked out of his mind and could only do the soundless mugging that he does throughout most of this.
Right. I mean, this movie was a train wreck, in my opinion. I mean, I think I'm not even going to mention it anymore.
I wouldn't say train wreck. All right, let me give you one more example. One more example.
What did you like about this movie so much that you're not calling it a train wreck?
It's not because it's not funny. It's funny.
I know.
It's kind of funny, but not as funny as they seem to believe it is.
I think that I'd rather. Look, what would am you I rather watch Roomies? What do you think's funnier, an episode of Roomies or this?
This.
No, Roomies. But Roomies
is only 30 minutes, though, so.
No, but which one is funnier?
All right, let me give you one. What would you rather watch again, this or Night Patrol?
Night Patrol. Night Patrol's grown on me, though.
Yeah, see? And I'm wondering if I watched this a few times. I had to, I had to go back and forth to get the timings and stuff. And
right.
You know, I was thinking maybe it's growing on me. I mean, again, it looks
people
so
say beautiful. That in rewatches that it grows on you. But I don't want it to.
I bet a year from now you're going to be like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, kind of like now, Night Patrol.
Night Patrol, the reason why I feel bad about Night Patrol is that I was so rough on it. You know, I didn't give it a fair chance, I felt. And that's why I want to go back.
Yeah. I wish I could find it. Coming on like you're
my best friend. It's a great song. I'll turn it off in a second right here. This is a great part. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know what, I'd rather watch DC Cab than watch 1941.
So, are you saying that to slander DC Cab?
Yeah, I didn't like DC Cab. But Whoa. The last time I saw it was years ago, though.
All right, you realize your credibility with our audience is rapidly.
You know where we are.
All right, well.
No, I mean, it's this movie, it's just as though, like, all right, give us $35 million and we're going to make a high-budget slapstick movie for 2.5 hours. And it's too much. It's just too much. Even 90 minutes. It would be too much of this, like, this is happening, then that is happening, then in the middle there's a dance sequence for, like, 25 minutes. And then there's this, like, love thing, but you're not sure if you should really get attached to these characters because you don't know if somebody's about to die, and I just feel that I personally want to move on with this movie.
Okay.
But Deason was a shining light in the first, after an hour. It was funny.
Yeah, I agree.
And I hope Deason got paid well for that.
I wonder if he gets residuals.
Yeah, they never go back to them, really, do they? I don't recall them going back.
What do you mean?
To Deason.
Yeah, I don't know why Spielberg hasn't used him again.
No, in the movie.
They do. It's just it's such quick shots, and he doesn't say much.
That could have been mostly a whole thing, yelling. You know, it would have been funny to keep going back to them and see the guy getting, like, more and more scared of where he is. Plus, it's, like, foggy, and they can't see anything anyway.
Yep.
This just doesn't make sense. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Spielberg's 1979's movie, 1941.
Even the score by John Williams, like, I thought that would be something to talk about. But outside of the Wild Bill Kelso, he's got a theme. I didn't like the soundtrack either, which is rare for me to not like.
Like, do you think Spielberg felt, I cannot lose? Everything I make is the best, because that's what everyone tells me. I have Jaws. I have, Close Encounters. Everything I touch is gold. And he did this, And it was like, what the hell is this?
Well, let's all be thankful he got his comeuppance with things like Always and...
Like, what's your favorite Spielberg film? It's kind of a big...
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a big catalog.
No, but I'm saying... You know, I like a lot of his stuff. I hate the... Like I say, I hate E.T. I love Raiders. Maybe.
You know, I just watched Raiders of the Lost Ark again 2 weeks ago. And I thought it was done really nicely. I mean, it's still a fun movie to watch.
You know, I really like Schindler's List. I will never watch it again because I hate Holocaust stories. It's going to be his early stuff, like Jaws and Close Encounters.
Mm-hmm. Not The Terminal. The Terminal, my favorite movie. The Terminal, jeez.
You know, Saving Private Ryan, I don't care.
You know what, it was so innovative at the time, though, using those high-speed cameras and stuff.
I don't care.
You know what I liked? I thought Minority Report was fun to watch.
I haven't seen that in forever, and I guess I should watch that again.
I remember really enjoying Amistad.
I don't want to see it.
It's a shocking movie. It's a beautifully shot film.
I don't want to see it.
You know, my flat-out favorite movie from him is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think it's his best, right behind the completely hilarious Lincoln. Oh my god!
It was a good 1-2 punch for him.
Lincoln was tough to get through. Did you watch Lincoln?
I again don't want to see it. When Spielberg does the serious stuff,
yeah,
I'm generally gonna tune out. Yes, really? I did like. What did I just say? I liked Munich, actually. I liked Munich a lot.
I didn't see Munich.
It's not a fun time at the movies, but I liked it a lot.
You know what was terrible?
Schindler's List.
No, just came out. The BFG.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it was so boring, dude. It was... My kid liked it, but he knew the story, and I think that's part of it.
Wow.
But Ramiel has a lot more patience than I do for film. It's amazing. He can really sit there and watch a movie and absorb it.
I was thinking of seeing that.
I did not like it.
It was at our second run theater where they serve beer and food so I could take the kids.
How come I don't have anything like that?
But then I didn't want to see it.
You know, and Catch Me If You Can was fun to watch, I thought.
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember seeing it. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, I just don't remember it very much. AI, I thought, was boring and long as shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. You know, it was so deathly serious. I was like, why is this, serious?
Why do I care?
Where's that sense of wonder?
Yeah,
Jurassic Park, you know, I think is overrated. Honestly, I really do.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't agree more. You're like the only... I thought you would attack me on that one. Now, I've seen Jurassic Park, the first one, and I just can't get into it. I don't care.
I mean, did the dinosaurs look okay? Sure, I guess so, but I just...
What are they supposed to look like?
I'm kind of with you. I just...
Yeah, Jurassic stuff I don't care about.
And the second one is even worse.
The third one, it's just bloody and
I kind of like the third one because it's lean and mean. It's 90 minutes, I think. And, I mean, it's okay. I'm not saying it's...
Actually, you know why I like E.T.? E.T. really touched on the of being a kid, I think. Did you happen to watch this Netflix TV show, Stranger Things?
No, I started one episode, but I just haven't had time to go back and watch the rest.
It's definitely worth watching. It's a weird series, but I feel as though E.T. and that show have a very similar connection.
Not the Goonies?
The way it looks and feels.
Not the Goonies? I thought maybe the Goonies would be the...
Now, Goonies is definitely more modern, but we're breaking up now. And
yep.
Somebody's so telling us something. Goodbye to everyone. Christopher, thank you very much for getting together as I'm losing you.
All right. People are telling us to shut up.
Exactly. So thank you very much for listening. Come to VHSRewind.com or check us out on Facebook. And that's about it. But I'll talk to you next time. And D's and Palooza's wrapped. It's done for the summer.
Yes.
And I don't know if you're coughing. But I'll find out in a minute. I'll talk to you later.